All right, Luke chapter 7 in your Bible this morning. Luke chapter 7, and we're going to go verses 19 through 23. So if you'll find that, there is a companion passage over in Matthew 11, but I'll refer to that. But we'll stick in Luke 7 today for our message, Luke 7, 19 through 23. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good book. Would you please join me on reading the even-numbered verses as we go through these five verses. Now I'm reading out loud in verse number 19. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Father, help us this morning. I pray that your message will go right to the heart that needs it most today. May it fall on good ground. May it bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Help it, Lord, not to fall on ground where the fowls of the air will come and snatch it away before it has time to take root and produce. Help our hearts not to be stony or thorny. Help us to, Lord, be good ground for the good seed of your word this morning. Would you help us, God? That's what we need. Thank you for the great, blessed music we've sung today, how my heart's just been stirred and blessed, oh Lord. And I pray that you'll just continue that same spirit through the message and the invitation. We'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Wonder at such mercy.
this song this morning. I want to preach this morning for a little bit on the subject, John's stumble. John's stumble. Talking, of course, about John the Baptist. This is the part of the text that we read this morning. So let me talk about John's stumble in the message a little bit today. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for the cross of Jesus, all the grace and mercy that is found there in great abundance. And I pray, Lord, that you'll please now bless the message to our hearts and help us to learn something that'll be an encouragement and a help to us. Speak to us, I pray. Give us your power, that Holy Ghost liberty that only He can bring to a service. That freedom, Lord, to be able to think for a little while, concentrate, meditate on the truths, the eternal principles of your word. Will you please help me as I'm the delivery boy today? That's all I am. The voice, like John the Baptist was years ago. The truth is what's important, not me. The truth is what's important, not the people. So may the truth go forth today in power. Will you bless us in Christ's name? And amen. When the New Testament opens, we are introduced to a man who dominates the scenery for just a brief while. His name is John the Baptist. His personality was unique. His preaching was plain. His purpose was clear. He was the forerunner of Jesus Christ, came in the spirit and power of Elijah, and his message was simply this: prepare ye the way of the Lord. John was not intimidated. He dealt with the sin of the religious. He dealt with the sin of the military. He dealt with the sin of royalty. He pointed his finger in Herod's face and told him that he was guilty of adultery for having his brother's wife in that kind of a relationship. He preached to others with great boldness. Now, his ministry caused quite a stir. Remember that preceding John's ministry was 400 years of silence from God. 400 years. That's a long time, folks. That's longer than the United States of America has been in existence. For 400 years, God didn't give any new revelation, didn't speak to His people. And then all of a sudden, here came this burning and shining light bursting out on the scene. And man, people flocked to hear Him. Many were baptized by Him, Jesus Christ Himself being one. Now, in this story, we find Him in an unusual situation. Find Him in an unusual place, number one. In unusual circumstances for His life, number two. We find Him in prison. The Bible in chapter 7 of the Gospel of Luke doesn't say that He's in prison. But if you go to the companion passage in Matthew 11, the Bible is very clear and says that John is in prison. So one day, while he's in prison, he receives a visit from a couple of his followers. And they begin to talk to John about all that Jesus Christ, now this is critical, they begin to talk to John about all that Jesus Christ was doing for people. In fact, Jesus had just stopped a funeral procession and as it was on its way to the tomb. And I can hear those two disciples telling John the Baptist about it. I said, John, you should have been there. They said they had the bier, they had the coffin, and the body in the coffin was that of a young man. He was his mother's only son. And her husband was already dead. And she was greatly sorrowing and horribly grieved and bereaving. And Jesus stopped the funeral procession and He told the woman not to weep. And John, you wouldn't believe it, Jesus walked over and He touched the coffin and He spoke a few words to that young man, and that dead young man sat up and began to speak, began to talk. Now, the Bible doesn't say what happened to all the people who were involved in the procession. But my guess is it emptied out real quick, amen. So this way, and then he went and got with his mother and they went away rejoicing. And John, you wouldn't believe it. In fact, we wouldn't believe it, but we saw it with our own eyes. Everybody is talking, everybody's saying that a great prophet is among us, saying God hath visited amongst His people. And John, you just won't believe all that Jesus Christ is doing for people. You won't believe all the ways He's helping people. You won't believe all the ways He is helping people's needs. You just won't believe it, John. It's incredible. Here was John in prison. In prison. For preaching truth. for doing right, for pointing people to Jesus Christ. So that is the setting for this thing. As these two men are visiting with John the Baptist, and he's in prison, and I want to point out five quick things about it. And basically, the first few points of the outline are really leading me to number four, where I want to make the point, the emphasis this morning. I want you to notice the strange question in verse number 19. The strange questions in verse number 19. So the disciples, these disciples of John the Baptist, they tell him the story. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, "Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" He said, "Boys, I got something I want you to do for me. I want you to go to Jesus. I want you to ask him if he is indeed the Messiah. I want you to go to Jesus and ask him if he is the promised Messiah. You ask him if he is the prophesied one, the Christ, the anointed one, or should we still be looking, or should we still be looking for that person to come? Are you really him, or should we be looking for that other person?" Whoa, John, time out. Aren't you the one who said, "This is he of whom I spake? He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." Didn't you say that, John? John, didn't you say the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ? John, didn't you say, "Of his fullness have all we received"? John, didn't you say, "There standeth one among you whom ye know not, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose"? John, didn't you say, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him"? John, didn't you say, "I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me"? John, didn't you say, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world"? Didn't you say that, John? And now you want us to go ask him if he's the Messiah? You're questioning his person? You're doubting his deity? And you want us, to go ask him face to face? Are you really who you? This was a strange question. Kind of like the questions some of God's people ask from time to time. Questions like, "God, do you love me? God, do you care? God, do you understand where I'm at? God, do you know what's going on?" Those are strange questions asked by God's people. John the Baptist asked a strange question here. Told those two boys to go see Jesus and ask if he was indeed the Messiah. And so they did. I want to show you number two. After the strange question, look at the show of proof in verses 20 and 21. So here go the men. They've got their assigned responsibility. Verse 20, "When the men were come unto him, they said, 'John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come?'" I like the way they qualify those questions, don't you? This didn't come from us. This came from John Baptist. They put that name in there. You see that? "John Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come?" That's like, you know, your kids sometimes will come and ask you, they'll use their sibling's name. The older siblings send the younger siblings to ask special favors of dad and mom, because they feel like the younger siblings can get away with murder, which most times they can. Amen. So, "John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight." Now, I love this. So here come these disciples of John. They said, "Jesus, John the Baptist, you know him. You know John. Yeah, okay, he's in prison. Yeah. And he asked us to ask you, you know, are you really him? Are you really the one?" This strange question. I wonder if this stung the heart of Jesus Christ. I wonder if it hurt him. The Bible does not say. I kind of doubt it. He wasn't that kind of man. But nothing is ever said about it, except that Jesus just kept helping people. The Bible says in verse 21, "And in that same hour." So they came and they said, are you really Jesus? Are you really who you say you are? Are you the anointed one? Are you the Messiah? Are you the prophesied Christ? And as far as we can tell here, Jesus didn't respond right away. He just kept helping people. To the blind, He gave sight. To the lame, He gave walk. To the deaf, He gave hearing. To the lepers, He gave cleansing. To the dead, He gave life. To the poor, He gave the truth. You see the picture here? People with all kinds of problems came, and Jesus took each person and helped them individually with their problems. He met their needs. One after the other, they came, and all those who came to Him, their lives were changed. They were helped. Everybody He touched was helped. I'm glad Jesus still has that kind of power today. Today, His power is revealed in a different manner than it was in certain ways back in the New Testament. Back then, they didn't have the whole Bible. They didn't have the epistles. They didn't have the whole New Testament. There were no gospels. There were no epistles written on earth. And God used the works of Jesus Christ to prove that Jesus was His Son, that He was the promised Messiah, the prophesied anointed one. You see, the Jews had to see all of these works in order for the words of Christ to have credibility. You say, yeah, I've been looking for the same thing. If I could just see some works, these miracles like they saw back then, I'd believe in Jesus too. You're not going to see the same kind of miracles today that they saw then because you've got a whole complete Bible. Here's the revelation of God to man. God says, here it is. This is what I've written about Jesus. You're not going to get these miracles like they did in Bible days when Jesus was on the earth. It's a different dispensation, a different day and age. Today, the credibility of Christ is in the Word of God. It teaches us about His power. It teaches us about His majesty. It teaches us about His glory. We also, the credibility of Jesus Christ is still seen in His works. In this way, people whose lives are broken with sin can be healed today by coming to Jesus Christ. Anybody that comes to Jesus Christ, confessing their sinful condition, trusting in His special work, His death, His burial, and His resurrection, people like that can be healed of their sin. Hey, folks, there is proof that Jesus is the Son of God, and that proof is in changed lives. There is proof sitting all over this room this morning that Jesus is the Son of God. Proof sitting all over this room. And that proof is in changed lives. Lives have been changed over and over and over again. The people who were drunks no longer drink. Dopers no longer get high. Brawlers no longer fight. The rebellious are now submissive. The religious now have salvation. The liar now tells the truth. The bitter is now sweet. The unstable is now stable because Jesus came. That's proof He's the Son of God. I love the old song Lester Roloff used to sing. I don't know if I've got all the words close, but they're exact, but they're close. When Jesus comes, the tempter's pyre is broken. When Jesus comes, the night turns into day. For He takes the gloom and He fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. That's still true. That's the show of proof. This is the same thing that happened in Acts chapter 3. When Peter and John were on the way to the temple, they stopped at the gate, beautiful. The man that was born there, laid a palsy there by the gate, asking for some money. Got anything to help me? Got any money? And Peter, I can't give you any money, but here, let me give what I give you. Reached down and took him by the hand, lifted him up in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. And boy, that healing created a stir. Made the religious rulers mad because everybody was flocking to hear Peter and John. And those religious rulers, they said, okay, we'll take care of this. We'll go down there right now and stop this nonsense. When they got down there to the crowd, standing beside Peter and John was the man who a day earlier had been laid at the temple lame. And the Bible says because the man was standing there next to them, they could say nothing. What were they going to say? The proof was right there standing beside them. You let the liberals say what they want to say. You let the God deniers say what they want to say. You let the people who don't love Jesus and who laugh at the, let them laugh at Christ and laugh at the Bible and think that it's nothing. But there are changed lives that are a show of proof of the power of the person of Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. You're looking at one. And I'm looking at a bunch sitting out there this morning. Changed lives. changed life. Not only changed destinies, but changed lives. That's huge. You don't do that by turning over a new leaf, friend. You can do that by getting saved. And that's the proof. So these two guys come. Jesus, here's the strange question from John Baptist. He wants to know if you're really the Messiah, if you're really the prophesied one, if you're really the promised, the anointed one. And so Jesus, they stand there while here comes a blind man, and Jesus touches him and he sees. And here comes a lame man, maybe somebody carrying him up there, and Jesus touches him and he goes away walking. Here comes a deaf person, Jesus touches them, they go away hearing. He just keeps helping people. He keeps helping people. Number three, I want you to see the straight answer. Look at verse number 22. Then Jesus answering said unto them, okay, after he performed all those miracles, he said, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. He said, you tell John what you've seen and heard. You know what he was saying? He said, John knows the Old Testament. John knows the Old Testament. He knows what the prophet said. He knows what Isaiah said about the Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. John knows that prophecy. You go and tell John what you've seen and heard. In light of those Old Testament prophecies, you go and tell him what you've seen. That's the straight answer. But he didn't finish there. This is where I wanted to get this morning. Number four, I want you to see the slap on the wrist. Verse 23. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. It's like Jesus told them, all right, fellas, you go and you tell him that you saw the blind see. You saw the lame walk. You saw the deaf hear. You saw the dead raised back to life. You saw the gospel being preached to the poor. You saw all that. You go back and tell him what you've seen. And as they say, okay, Jesus, and they turn to go, it's like Jesus says, and oh, by the way, also I want you to tell John, happy is the man who is not offended in me. That's what the word blessed means. Happy is the man who is not offended in me. Now, here's where we're going to go. Offended means stumbled or tripped up. John Baptist had not fallen, but he had stumbled. He had tripped up a bit. Now watch it, folks. Here he was in prison. And Jesus was doing all of these magnificent works, these wonderful miracles, helping people in every way possible. Those two guys were bouncing off the jail cell walls when they first came to Jesus, to John, and were telling him about the dead man that had been raised to life. And John, you should have seen it. And he's not just raising the dead to life. He is helping people everywhere he goes. He's helping people. And here is John in prison. And he hears all of these things that Jesus is doing for others. John, even the dead are brought back to life. He was still in prison. He's still in prison. Do you think John would like to get out? He had not been delivered. He had not been released. He had not been set free. He was alone. His voice had been silenced. His ears were not hearing Jesus teach. His eyes were not seeing the miracles that Jesus was working. His legs were not walking very far. He heard no gospel preaching because his prayers were not answered. Everybody else was getting help, but not him. He was left out of all these wonderful things that were happening to everybody else, but he was stuck in prison. This verse is recorded in both passages, Luke 7 and Matthew chapter 11. Jesus tags it with, by the way, tell John, but happy is the man, blessed is the man who does not get offended in me. You tell John, you tell him, happy is the man who can be left, watch this, so this is so unbelievable. Happy is the man who can be left in prison, alone, cold, seemingly deserted in silence, and yet he can shut out all the twinges of doubt and discouragement and disappointment. Happy is the man who can still be happy that Jesus is doing wonderful things for other people when they're not happening to him. Y'all get me this morning? You tell John that even though it's not happening for him right now, it's still happening. Amen. It may not be happening for him right now. His prayers may not be answered. His situation may not be improved. He may feel like he's forgotten. He may feel like I don't care. He may feel like this is all. He may feel like since it's not happening for him, but it's not. You tell him, even though it's not happening for him, it's happening for other people. And just because it's not happening for him, that doesn't change who I am. Happy is the man. Doesn't get offended in me. Now here's the application this morning. Are you in prison? I don't mean you're behind bars. Are you in prison in a situation that you need the doors to open and they haven't opened yet? Are your prayers unanswered? Is your tank running low? Do you see others prospering? Do you see others getting blessed? Do you see others testifying about an answer to prayer and yet you remain in prison? And the temptation, friend, if we're not careful, is to think, well, God's forgotten about me, doesn't love me, and get all offended because God's taking care of everybody else, but He's not taking care of me. That's exactly what was happening to John the Baptist. All these wonderful reports of what Jesus was doing for multitudes of people, but John was stuck in prison. He's left alone. And if you're not careful, the old human nature begins to doubt and distrust and begins to get disappointed and begins to get discouraged. You see, we find credibility in Jesus when He does for us. But when He's doing for everybody else and not for us, are we still convinced that He is who He said He is? Y'all listening this morning? John was all offended. He was tripped up. He stumbled. Because his situation was not getting better. His situation was not improving. He was offended because everybody else was getting helped and blessed. But he was left in prison. And Jesus kind of slapped John on the wrist and said, "Fellas, you tell John Baptist that it doesn't, if it's not happening for him, it doesn't change who I am." Listen very carefully. If it's not happening for you right now, it's happening for others. And if it's not happening for you, it doesn't change who Jesus is. And these little strange questions that flood our mind. Does He love me? Does He care? Does He know? Does He hear? Oh, He still hears. He still knows. He still cares. In fact, there's a multitude of people that feel that love and feel that care and are getting that help right now. Just because you or I may not be, doesn't change Jesus one little bit. And happy is the man that can watch everybody else get an answer to prayer while he's got four unanswered ones and still rejoice. Happy is the man that can watch somebody else have a party while his candle is blown out. Happy is the man that can see everybody else getting answers to prayer, getting things happening, and God doing things for them. And he's just kind of stuck, or she's just kind of stuck in prison behind bars. These doors haven't opened yet. Happy is the man that can rejoice and not be offended, not begin to question the power, the love, the concern, the care of Jesus Christ with these odd questions, even though it's not happening right now. John was offended. Then I want to show you something, how it all ends. I want you to see the support of Christ. Now, after he slaps John Baptist on the wrist, look at what he says. He begins to talk to the people about John. So there's people standing around when these men come and ask Jesus this question. And Jesus gives the answer, slaps John on the wrist a little bit. By the way, that's okay. Jesus can do that. Sure he can. And here he goes. So when these messengers of John depart, in verse 24, Jesus turns to the people and he starts commending John the Baptist. He talks very highly of him. In fact, he says in verse number 28, "For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist." Do you imagine that? Look at what he said. "Among those that are born of women, there's not a greater prophet than John the Baptist." So even though he slapped John on the wrist, John still had the support, the care, the love, the concern. even the admiration of Jesus Christ. And friend, if you are in one of those situations where you are stuck behind prison doors this morning, and it's just not, and every Christian's going to go through that. You're not going to get saved, hit the ground running for Jesus Christ, and every day of your salvation life, your saved experience, have all of your prayers answered, all of your doors opened, all of your confusions cleared up. It's never going to be that way. There'll be seasons when it will be. There'll be seasons where it's obvious that God is answering your prayers, and it's obvious that God is directing your steps, and He's clearing up the confusion, and He's leading you in your marriage and leading you with your children. And then you're going to hit those seasons where it's just foggy. And it's not happening like it was. Hey, but let me tell you something. It had happened previously for John Baptist. It was happening for John. Man, he was baptizing people, coming by the multitudes. John baptizing them, preaching to people, the power of God on his life. But at this stage in the game, it ain't happening for John. He's stuck in prison. And everybody else is getting blessed. And John got a little bit offended in Jesus. Just a little bit twinged, a little bit tweaked that it was happening for everybody else. It wasn't happening for him. No, John, Jesus still cares. Jesus still loves. Jesus still admires who you are. You just need to be able to rejoice when it's happening for everybody else and not for you. Can you do that? You know, there are some people in the Christian life, they can only enjoy it if it's their party. And if it's not their party, they can't have a good time. Jesus told John, he said, happy is the man that rejoices when it's his party, and happy is the man that rejoices when it's his party. And when it's his party, and her party, everybody else's party. He may be stuck in prison doors, but everybody else is having a party. I tell you what, that's wonderful. Jesus loves, He cares, He's great, He's powerful, He's majestic. If it's my party, or if I'm in prison, Jesus Christ is the same. I wonder if somebody's taken a little stumble. You know, people who enjoy success, 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 success. I'm talking about in the Christian life. And then all of a sudden it's kind of, And that humanity, that old nature causes us to begin to question, well, you know, is it really, and is it this, and is it that, and is Jesus, and does God even understand? Well, just get your eyes up and look around, friend, because people are still being touched by God. People are still being helped by God. God is the same God He's always been. It's not your party right now. Be happy for somebody else. Guess what? Your party will come again. It'll be your time of blessing again, because that's the Christian life. I wonder if somebody's been tripped up a little bit, stumbled, because right now it's not your party. Somebody else's. Don't let the doubts come. Don't let the disappointment come. Don't let the discouragement come. You keep your faith where it ought to be. He is who He said He was. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank You for listening this morning. God, I pray that You'll take the brief thoughts today, the message. Use it in the hearts of Your people. I don't know every situation in this room, but God, You do. Lord, I know that there are people in the congregation of this size that are in prison today. Seems like they can't get a prayer answered. Seems like they can't get through to You. God, this is a very dangerous time. It was for John Baptist. He got offended. A little bit of twinge of doubt, disappointment, discouragement. Still had Jesus' support. God, help the people to feel this morning the support of the Scriptures and the support of a loving God. And if they're stuck in one of those situations where their party's not happening, I pray that they'll find great joy in that is happening for somebody else. But while other people are getting blessed, help us to rejoice. Never, ever to get offended in You. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me ask this morning before we give the invitation today. I wonder who would say, Pastor, you know what? That message kind of caught me right where I think I've been lately. Had those twinges of doubt or discouragement or disillusionment or disappointment, because for right now, it's just not happening. And I see I had company in the person of John the Baptist. God spoke to my heart this morning, and I realized that I got to stay away from that nonsense. Questioning Jesus and throwing some strange questions His way. The Spirit of God took the message and brought it right to my heart. I needed that this morning. Would you pray for me when you close the service in just a moment? Yes, I will. If you raise your hand right now, God bless you. God bless you. Somebody else, there's a lot of hands. Amen. I see that. God bless you. Take them down. That's wonderful. I see that. I will pray for you in just a moment. Let me ask this question today. I wonder if there's somebody here who would say, Pastor, let's start this. Let's find out who is saved. Talk about the show of proof being a changed life. Jesus still helps people in sin today by saving their souls and delivering them from their sin. Let's find out this morning. If you're saved and you know it, you know you're on your way to heaven. There's no doubt about it. You're saved and you know it. You can testify of that. Would you raise a hand this morning? By your hand, you're saying, yes, I'm saved and I know it. Thank you. Take your hands down. I see that. Amen. Now, I wonder if there's one here that could not raise a hand. You didn't raise your hand just now. You're not sure that you're saved. If you died, you have no certainty of heaven. No certainty that you've been born into God's family. You're not sure that you're saved. You say, Pastor, I couldn't raise my hand a moment ago. I was honest, didn't raise it, but I'll raise it now, saying, I am not sure. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand from front to back, side to side? Anybody like that in the crowd today? I'm not sure that I am saved. Pray for me. I'll wait just for a moment. If you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, not sure that you're saved. One hand, God bless you. Somebody else, not sure that I'm saved. The most important thing you'll ever know in life is that you're saved and on your way to heaven. In just a moment, when we give the invitation, the music begins, we stand, the ladies begin to play. If you're not sure that you're saved, why don't you leave your seat and let somebody talk with you about the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that He provides to every person who will come simply confessing their sin and receiving Christ as Savior. That'd be the most wonderful decision you'd ever make in your life. I'm going to pray in just a moment that you'll make that choice. You can make that choice. It is a choice that you need to make. I'm wondering this morning if there's somebody that would say, Pastor, I've been saved, but I've not been baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. I've not followed the Lord in believer's baptism since I've been saved. Anybody like that in the crowd today? Raise your hand. I'll pray for you in just a moment. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you. Nobody's looking. All right, good. This is the place that you've been visiting. You know that God wants you to join here and become a member. You've talked to myself or one of the assistants about it. Then you come this morning and join with us. We'd be glad to have you. Or if you're interested in setting up a time to talk about that, we can do that. But for those this morning who raised a hand and said, Pastor, the message is what I needed. I hope that you'll use the altar. Take just a moment to kneel and talk to the Lord, since He's already talked to your heart. If you're not saved, this is it. This is your morning. This is the day of your salvation, if you want it to be. Why don't you come and trust Christ, I pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for the crowd this morning. I pray for those that lifted a hand a moment ago. The message came close to where they're sitting right now, Lord, in their life. God, we've all been there. We've all been in situations where we've been behind prison doors. We've been in circumstances where we haven't gotten our prayers answered. And God, we've seen other people prospering spiritually. And God, it's very easy for us to get offended. I pray that we won't do that. Pray that, Lord, You'll show us what You showed John the Baptist here. Happy is the man that's not offended in Christ. And when it's not happening for us, we can still rejoice because it is happening for somebody else. Lord, that's a great, great truth. Help us with it today. I pray that You'll bless one that raised a hand not saved. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, I pray that You'll draw that person to Jesus Christ this morning. The forces of hell would be defeated. God, You'd win that battle in that person's heart. They would come trusting Christ as Savior today. Help us, bless us, help us to be obedient to You in this invitation, I pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The ladies are playing. It's time for you to come to raise your hand. Just leave your seat. Won't you let the Lord speak to your heart this morning as you come.